right. If you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm 54. Psalm 54. We'll do something a little bit different tonight. Not terribly crazy, but we'll do something a little bit different. And once you find Psalm 54, if you do me a favor, and we'll stand, and we're going to do correspondent reading. All right. And that means I'm going to read the first verse, and I'm going to help you read the second verse, so that we'll kind of keep pace all together. But I might drop out, and I want you to read the second verse, and then I'll read the third verse, and then you read the fourth verse, and we'll just go through the entire chapter that way. It's a short chapter, and I think it'll go well with this chapter. So Psalm 54 and verse number 1, and I'll read the first verse and you read the second verse, all right? Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Let's go ahead and pray, and then you can be seated. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, for your word that we can study. God, I pray that you would use me as we look at this text tonight. I pray that you'd speak through me, and God, will thank you for that. And God, I pray that you'd encourage and strengthen each and every person. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. I appreciate it. You guys did a great job, and a little different, but that's all right. You can do stuff a little different every now and then. That's a good thing. And that's a good chapter, Psalm 54. And I want to teach and preach this evening on keeping the faith, keeping the faith. David is an excellent example of keeping the faith. You look at all the hardship, you look at all the difficulty that he went through in his life. We talked about him Sunday night, and this psalm falls actually in line before 1 Samuel chapter 30 that we looked at Sunday night. And notice with me there in the title of the psalm, it says, to the chief musician on Neginoth Maskil, a psalm of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? And I read that and I thought, boy, we have this psalm pinned down to an exact time in David's life. Many of the psalms, we don't know when they took place. And it's very helpful to find out when they took place, because you can know what's going on in David's life and bring a lot of context into what took place there in that Psalm 54. Who are the Ziphims? The title mentions them there. And let's go back and we're going to look at what is going on in David's life. I want you to notice first and foremost, just with the title there, the fickleness of men, the fickleness of men. Look with me back or look with me right here in our text, actually, before we go back. Notice with me in verse 3, he says this, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them, Selah. Well, what is this talking about? It's talking about strangers that were coming after David. It was talking about strangers who were really trying to cause David harm and really cause David to be captured by King Saul. Save your spot here in Psalm 54 and go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 23, and we'll find exactly what is going on. 1 Samuel chapter number 23, and we'll find out those, I think I called them Ziphims, I think it's Ziphim. Or Ziph. I'm not 100% sure how to say that one. But look with me back in 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 16. The 16 will just kind of help give us some context of what is going on. David is hiding in the wilderness at this stage in his life. And notice with me, 1 Samuel 23 and verse number 16, the Bible says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood. and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul, my father, knoweth. Let me just pause here and point out what a tremendous friend that Jonathan was to David. Jonathan really was an excellent person in character, an excellent person in what he does, because he knows God's hand is on David. He knows that David is going to ascend to the throne, and his goal is not to overtake David, not to hinder David, but rather stand beside David and support David in his role as king of Israel. And he goes to David and he encourages him. And let me just say, this is not part of the message by any stretch of the imagination, but you need friends that are going to encourage you in the Lord. You need friends that are going to stand up behind you and encourage you to do what is right and to follow God and to trust in God. And that is exactly what Jonathan is doing for David. What an amazing story. There's another whole message there that we're not going to get into. Go with me in verse number 18. The Bible says this as we continue. And they too made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Notice with me in verse 19, because this is when it comes into play. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul, to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the woods, wood in the hill of Hakilah? Which is on the south of Jeshimon. Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. Well, you see the Ziphites there that are quick to turn over David. They're quick to run to Saul and let him know. And you think about it, this happens right after Jonathan came and visited him. I don't think that Jonathan had anything to do with it intentionally. But I did think this, you know, Jonathan being the son of the king, you don't just wander around the kingdom, people will take notice. It would be much like the president's son walking into town. Everyone would be taking notice. Everyone would be pointing. Everyone would be saying, hey, that's so and so. And they would point out who that is. And so Jonathan goes. Now, I'm not saying it's Jonathan's fault. Just the talk of town. They found out that, hey, there is David hiding there in the wilderness. But nonetheless, the Ziphites find out because David is in the wilderness of Ziph, Z-I-P-H. And there he's hiding. And so maybe the people saw them coming in and going out, and they got to figuring out, hey, who is this band of people that are hiding? Because think of this, there's 400 men with David. Go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. Look with me in verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard of it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, that's quite a troop of people hiding in the wilderness. And so you could imagine that would cause a stir. And then on top of that, they really look like a band of outlaws. I mean, look at the group, the discontented, the discouraged, the indebted, and all those people. They're not really the kind of people that you want hanging out in the wilderness by your house. And so here these people notice, and all of a sudden, boy, they're going to Saul. And they're saying, hey, we know exactly where David is, and we are more than happy to turn him over into your hands. And we see the fickleness of these men. What was their concern? Maybe they were fearful. I mean, you look at that lot of people that was with David. You look at the 400 men as a band of men that are hiding out in a wilderness that's close to your town. And it may cause you to have some suspicion. And we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe they thought David to be a criminal or dangerous. I mean, after all, he was not in good favor with King Saul. And so maybe they thought, man, this guy's an outlaw. We don't want him around here. Perhaps they thought that that Saul would even attack them because they were harboring David. Maybe they thought that. We don't really know why they went to King Saul and said, hey, that they're that King David, or David rather, is over here hiding it out in our wilderness. But perhaps it was fear. We don't really know. Maybe it was corruption or selfish gain. Maybe they thought to themselves, boy, we can get some, maybe there's a reward on David's head. I mean, after all, Saul's after him, and maybe we can get some money out of it. Maybe they thought they could get political gain and influence and say, man, you know, Saul will look up to our town and say, man, this is better off and we've got good people here. And maybe that was it. I don't really know the reason why they decided to turn David over to Saul. But this I do know, I was thinking about this, is that there was some form of temptation for them. And basically, Satan would dangle a carrot in front of them, whatever that carrot would be, and they would chase after it. And they wanted to see David turned over into the hand of King Saul. And notice this, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 26. Notice their commitment. Actually, before we go there, let me just recount you the story. Basically, as we'll go back and look at it later. But basically, King Saul says to the men of Ziph, he says, hey, you go down and you make sure that Saul is there, or David is there, because David's very subtle. And sometimes he's slippery and he's difficult to get your hands on. And so you make sure that he's there. And basically, Saul does go down and they almost catch David, but the Lord intervenes, and we'll look at that later. But then, chapter 26, notice this in verse number 1 and 2. The Bible says, and the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakaliah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Not only were they concerned or perhaps corrupted, but I know this, they were committed to turning David in. I mean, several chapters later, here they go back to Saul. Hey, we know that you tried to get, we know that it didn't work out the first time, but he's back. And we know right where he's at. And he's in our wilderness there in Ziph, and we want you to come get him. And I'm just saying that they were committed to having David turned over to King Saul. And listen, sometimes the world is completely committed against Christians. Maybe you got somebody that hassles you at work. Maybe you got somebody that causes you problems as a neighbor. Maybe they're committed to causing you problems. And I'm just saying that, hey, David had that in his life. David, I don't see any place in the Bible where David went after the people of Ziph. I don't see any place where David caused them any alarm or any harm or any problem while he was there in Ziph. I don't think he was the problem. They simply went after him and targeted him for whatever reason that it may be. And maybe people would go after you for as being a Christian. And listen, sometimes people are committed to causing people harm. Sometimes people are committed to causing Christians to fall. And I'm just saying that that takes place. But I like the verse in 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, in verse number 8. The Bible says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And I'm just saying that, hey, listen, we need to recognize that God is with us. David recognized in his life, that God was with him. But you see the fickleness of people. You see how people will come after you. You see how people will target you just as they did David's life. And perhaps you have that. Perhaps you deal with that. But we see the fickleness of people. Notice with me in back in Psalm 54, the faith of David. The faith of David. In Psalm 54, in verse number 1, notice what he says. So we see there the time and place that it was taking place when the men of Ziph had gone up to Saul and tried to turn David over to Saul. Notice with me in verse number 1 of Psalm 54, what's the first words? Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. I notice the very first thing in this psalm is that David calls out to God. Listen, as a Christian, there is no greater thing than we have than to go to God in prayer. Listen, physically, David was being attacked. Physically, there were men and people who were trying to turn David over to Saul. They were trying to tell Saul where David was hiding. And listen, it's easy to get distracted by the attacks of man. It's easy when somebody causes you a problem or lies against you or does something to make you look bad. It's easy to get distracted by that. But listen, we can always go to God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can always go to God in prayer. David goes immediately to God. Save me, O God, by thy name. And he calls upon God and he asks God to help him. And we see that very clearly in verses 1 and 2. Notice his confidence in God. In verse number 4, he says this, behold, God is mine helper, and the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Listen, God's not visible. We can't see God. David could not see God. David had spent many times out in the wilderness with his as a shepherd boy and watching over the sheep. And there were many a days that David could not see God. But yet David recognized that God was working in his life. You know what happened when David went to the camp and the Philistines were lined up to attack the Israelites, and Goliath had cursed God and all of that. And David made up his mind. He said, hey, I'm not putting up with that. I'm going to put this giant to death. And what did David say when they brought him before Saul and Saul said, hey, you got to take my armor? David said, I can't wear your armor. It's too big. It's not right for me. And here's what David told Saul. He said this. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. That's what David said. And you know what David learned as a young person? To have confidence in God. David learned that he, as a shepherd boy, could depend upon God. Now, a lion or a bear, I've been in the woods many times, and I wanted to hunt bear. I never got a chance to go hunting bear, but I've never really had a desire to hunt lion. I've never really had a desire to be in the woods with a lion either. But nonetheless, here's David, and he was in the woods with those animals. And to me, you know, the bears, okay, that's one thing, but a lion, that's like a cut above. I mean, that's just a step higher as far as the stealthiness and as far as the attack and all of that. And there's just something about that. And here David recognized, hey, that God had intervened in his life. And the reality is we ought to be able to find places where God has intervened in our lives. Oh, maybe it's not a bear. Maybe it's not a lion. Maybe it's another thing. And maybe you would in your mind say, oh, that's a small thing. Listen, faith grows in steps. And it's those small steps that you take before you take larger steps. Most of us look at the Bible characters. We're like, man, I want to be like that guy, you know, that did. I want to be like Moses, you know, that stood out and parted the Red Sea with his staff and allowed that sea to part. You know, Moses didn't start there. David didn't start with Goliath. David didn't, these guys didn't start at the large miracles that we read about. They started with small steps of faith. And David trusted God out in that wilderness. And God took care of him. And he recognized God's hand on his life. And he acknowledged God's work in his life. And listen, we ought to be able to go in our life and say, hey, listen, God has worked in my life. And God has done this. And God has done this. And God has done this. And it may be small things. Matter of fact, you may tell other people. Matter of fact, you may be embarrassed to tell other people because you think, well, that's pretty small. That's okay. As long as you can put your finger on it and you know, hey, listen, God helped me. God moved in my life. And have a real relationship with God. David developed that when he was young. And we find his confidence in God only grew as time went on. And the trials got stronger and the difficulties got harder. And the things that came David's way were like, wow, that's crazy that he would do that. But yet he recognized and his confidence in God grew. Notice with me in verse number 5, Psalm 54, the Bible says, he shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. And listen, David's confidence in God was not only to protect David in his life, but his confidence in God was to defeat his enemies as well. And David was saying, hey, I trust God that God will, number one, protect me, uphold me, that God will be my helper, that God will cover me, that God will keep me safe. But number two, I trust God that God is able to defeat my enemies. David was in no position to attack those who had taken up a position against him. He didn't even know who the men of Ziph were. He probably wasn't able to identify the men of Ziph that had gone up to King Saul and said, hey, we want to turn over David to you. He may not have even been fully aware of who they were. He just knew somebody is ratting me out. Somebody's telling Saul where I'm hiding. Somebody is busy trying to turn me over to King Saul. And he recognized that and he knew that. But yet David's confidence was in God to protect him and to defeat his enemies. Listen, we need to be reminded because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't know about you, but I like to put my finger on something. I like to know, oh, this is it. I mean, this is where it's at, or this is the thing that's causing the problem. I like to fix things. And the past couple of months, my wife's car, every time I get in it and drive it, it's like I hit a bump and it's like, da-da-dum. It drove me nuts. Man, I tore the front end open out so many times. And I shake everything under there and I'm like, I couldn't find anything loose. I couldn't find anything rattling. And after a while, finally, I took it to the shop. I said, tell me what's wrong with this thing. And they told me what was wrong. And I finally got it fixed. But I'm just saying it drives me crazy. I like to be able to put my finger on what the problem is. Hey, listen, sometimes in our life, we may not be able to put our finger on what the problem is because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the Bible says. And we need to spend time in prayer and we need to have a confidence in God that God is able to protect us, but then God is also able to defeat and take care of our enemies. We notice that David's faith and confidence was firmly placed in God, though these people tried to overthrow him. I want you to notice this, not only the fickleness of men, the faith of David, but I want you to notice this, the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Look with me in verse number 6. David says this. He says this, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. David had not been delivered yet. The Bible says, we don't think. I mean, he was in the midst of this trial. This is when the men of Ziph went up. And maybe God helped him write this psalm while he was going through this trial. And he says this, God's good. Whether or not I'm delivered, whether or not this works out in my favor, God is still good. And David's trust was firmly placed in God. And God is always faithful to take care of us. I'm reminded of another psalm, Psalm 92, verse number 1. It says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Notice in this psalm, the latter part, I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Listen, God's not going to allow his name to be marred. God's name is something that is ought to have a good, ought to be exalted, ought to be lifted up, ought to be praised, ought to be elevated. And we see that, and David certainly does that. Why? Because he knows that God is going to be faithful. He knows that God's going to take care of him. And he certainly thanks God and praises God throughout the Psalms. Notice with me in verse number 7. Not only is God's name good, but notice God delivers. In verse number 7, the Bible says, for he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemy. Notice David's praising God for the deliverance that he'll receive. And he says, hey, my God will deliver me. And he hath delivered me. Listen, this was not David's first battle. Go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 23. And I love this in the latter part. Verse number 19, we read that the men of Ziph go up and they tell King Saul where David is. And Saul says, you go back and you make sure you know right where David is. And they go back and they find where David is, and they go back to Saul and they let Saul know and bring Saul down with them. And notice with me in verse number 26, the Bible says, and Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul, for Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. I always pictured a mountain, and we had a lot of mountains in Peru, and I could see how this would be easily done. And having been to Israel, they had, you know, mountainsides the same. And if this pulpit were the mountain and David were over here and Saul were over here, and you could kind of see him playing the round the circle game. So Saul and his men come to the front and David and his men move to the back. And it wasn't long. They keep moving up. Well, David keeps going higher, and it wasn't long before Saul's men encompassed. He had 3,000 men had encompassed the mountain. Now, David has a real problem because, I mean, he's got nowhere to go but up. There's no getting back down. The mountain is surrounded. And so he continues to go higher, and it continues to get smaller and the area. And in all reality, there is no exit. There is no relief. There is no salvation on this mountaintop. That's what it looks like. But I love this. Look with me in verse number 27, because here's David surrounded, nowhere to go. But the Bible says, but God always has a way when we don't think it's possible. But there came a messenger unto Saul saying, haste thee, come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Oh, just by chance, the Philistines happened to come. Just by chance, this messenger happened to show up. When David was literally stranded on the pinnacle of this mountain, and there was literally nowhere for him to go, there was literally nowhere for him to run and hide to, he was literally out of options, and humanistically, he would have said, we're dead men. We're going to have to fight. We don't have a choice. We're backed up against a wall. We have nowhere to go. And humanistically, he would have said that. But can I tell you that, listen, even when things looked the worst, God sent a messenger. God allowed those Philistines, and God intervened on David's behalf to save him. And I firmly believe that. Look with me in verse number 27. We read that. But there came a messenger unto Saul, haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Verse 28. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Selahemeth-lekoth. That's a big long word. And David went up from thence and dwelt in strongholds at En-Gedi. And the bottom line is that God delivered David when he literally had no place to go and no place to turn and no way out of this situation. Can I tell you this evening? Listen, God may allow you to get to places that are very uncomfortable in your life. God may allow you to stand on the edge of a cliff looking over it, thinking, I'm done. I have no exit. I have no idea how to get out of this. I have no clue how this is going to be resolved. God may push you to the very edge and to the worst possible circumstances. But can I tell you this? God's always in control. And God did not allow David to be captured that day. God did not allow David to die that day. God did take care of David. Even though he was at the top of a mountain and he was completely surrounded by enemies, God will not abandon you. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank God for that promise. Listen, David, there in that mountain. Listen, God knew where he was. God knew how close Saul was. God knew that it was not a surprise to God that David was really probably scratching his head in all reality, thinking, man, I'm not for sure about this. I don't know where to go. But God took care of it. And listen, God is faithful. And he's not going to fail you. And you can trust in God. We see the fickleness of man and how man may turn against you. Man may fail you. We see the faith of David and how David had an established relationship with God. And he trusted God. And then we see the faithfulness of God and that God took care of David. And listen, he'll take care of us. He's promised to. And he'll not leave you and he'll not forsake you. You just keep following him. You just keep obeying him. And you just keep trusting him. As we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, though David was certainly in a precarious place, a difficult place, a place that seemed like there was no escape and no exit, and yet, God, you helped him. And God, you took care of him. And God, I thank you for your faithfulness. God, I pray that you would help us to see you work in our lives. And God, maybe small things, it may be little things. But I pray that we would be aware of it and we would acknowledge your presence and your working. And God, that we would put our faith and trust in you on a daily basis to walk with you and to obey you. God, I pray that you would just help, encourage, and strengthen each and every person that's here tonight. Father, we'll thank you for that. God, we'll give you the honor and glory for all that's said and done. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.